Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. With the face of world communism rapidly changing, one of the symbols of its hardline era is gone. The word came this morning from Soviet President Gorbachev and from Radio Moscow.
A former member of the Political Bureau of the Soviet Communist Party, Andrei Gromyko, has passed away.
The former Soviet president and longtime foreign minister died yesterday after vascular surgery, 2 weeks short of his 80th birthday. As Jonathan Sanders reports now from Moscow, Gromyko's career bridged the Stalin and Gorbachev eras.
Andrei Gromyko devoted his life to Soviet foreign policy. He was the symbol of Soviet politics during the Cold War. The stone-faced Gromyko played a role in virtually every U.S.-Soviet confrontation, from Yalta, the Berlin blockade, the Cuban Missile Crisis, detente, to the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. A very young Gromyko came to Washington in 1939 and soon became Soviet ambassador to the United States. As his country's first representative to the UN, he became famous as Mr. Nyet for his many negative votes and his walkouts. Khrushchev made him foreign minister, a job he held for 26 years. Gorbachev eased him into a largely ceremonial post of president, and last fall engineered Gromyko's resignation from the Politburo. With his passing, the most enduring symbol of the old Cold War approach to East-West relations has finally left the scene. Jonathan Sanders, CBS News, Moscow.
President Bush this morning offered condolences to the Gromyko family. Former U.S. Secretary of State Dean Rusk spent the Kennedy and Johnson years dealing with Gromyko, and this morning he recalled asking a small favor.
I asked if his government would speak to the people in China about two Americans who are being held there. He said, oh, no, you have to do that yourselves. And I said, well, we don't have relations with China. He said, well, then talk to Chiang Kai-shek about it. He had a pretty wry sense of humor.
Was his reputation for being tough and dour a deserved one?
Oh, yes. Toward the end of my 8 years in service with him, he became a somewhat mellow personally. When he realized we were meeting for the last time, he took me aside and spoke rather warmly of the 8 years of association that we had had. He was a human being underneath all that severity.
President Gorbachev told a Western reporter he will fly to France tomorrow as scheduled for a three-day visit. It's expected the Gromyko funeral will be delayed until his return. We've just been told that the U.S. Supreme Court has reached a decision and will issue its opinion today in the Missouri abortion case. We do not yet know what that is. As soon as we learn it, we will bring that word to you. A week before President Bush comes calling, Poland Solidarity is publicly proposing that it should form a government in exchange for backing a communist presidential candidate. As correspondent Bert Quint tells us, the man who brought martial law to Poland 8 years ago now appears to be a victim of his own reform.
Communist Party chief Wojciech Jaruzelski, the man who led Poland first into tyranny, then onto the path of reform, is pondering his future today. The first East Bloc parliament with a powerful opposition force will be seated tomorrow and is to elect the Polish president Thursday. Jaruzelski, under terms of a deal with Solidarity stipulating the president be a communist, was to be that president. But he admitted Friday he lacks popular support and said he would not run. His party gave him until the last minute to reconsider. National television has been reminding Poles that Jaruzelski brought reform as well as martial law. Last night it showed former U.S. State Department official John Whitehead saying Jaruzelski is a changed man. But the change may be too late, and Wojciech Jaruzelski could be washed up on the shores of the reform he helped create. Bert Quint, CBS News, Warsaw.
U.S.-China relations remain chilled. David Jackson has the latest in Beijing.
The U.S. Embassy protests for a second time last month's shoot-up of a diplomatic housing compound by the Chinese Army. An embassy report says the incident appears to have been premeditated and that certain apartments seem to have been targeted, specifically those of foreign defense attachés. It says 10 U.S. apartments were hit, as were those of other countries. The shooting occurred just a day after the State Department announced that dissident Feng Lijun and his wife were holed up at the U.S. Embassy. There is no comment yet from the Chinese to this latest American protest. They claim the soldiers were firing at a sniper in the compound. The embassy report says the reported arrest of one such sniper appeared staged. The roundup continues here. Several students and workers were shown on government television after arrests last month. They reportedly turned themselves in and were shown receiving the lenient treatment promised in such cases. None appeared to have been beaten. The government says one student showed authorities where a stolen weapon was buried on the Beijing University campus. David Jackson, CBS News, Beijing.
We now go to Rita Braver at the Supreme Court, who says that the bottom line on the Supreme Court decision is that Roe versus Wade, the landmark 1973 decision, has not been overturned.
That a restriction in the Missouri statute on the use of public employees and facilities for the performance or assisting of non-therapeutic abortions is okay, and that they can go forward with this. The court also says that it doesn't even need to pass on the constitutionality of a Missouri state statute, which says in its preamble that conception begins at, that life begins at conception, and they have given the state basically, I'd say, a philosophical chance to allow that to be in the language of its statute. With me here is Professor Paul Rothstein from Georgetown University. Paul, what do you make of this extremely complicated case?
Well, I think what it shows is that Roe versus Wade, the basic case granting the right to an abortion, is left standing, but that the court is going to restrict it as much as possible.
I think that's right, and I think that what we're seeing here, now there is a, just to read you some of the lineup, the opinion here in Hull was announced by Chief Justice William Rehnquist, with most of the parts joined by White, O'Connor, Scalia, and Kennedy. And O'Connor and Scalia have some opinions that are very specific, concurring in part and dissenting in part, and Justice Blackmun concurs in part, and I haven't read that, but I'm sure that's with the part that upholds Roe versus Wade and dissents in part, and we will be reading this through and giving you a little bit more. I think that
correspondent Rita Braver at the Supreme Court this morning. Basically, the Supreme Court has decided that Roe versus Wade will not be overturned, but that states will be given more rights to restrict abortions in narrow ways. Admiral William Crow is resigning as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Crow declined to confirm reports that he'd been asked by President Bush and Defense Secretary Cheney to stay on for at least another year. Crow says he'll step down at the end of his term on September 30th after 4 years in the post. He recently returned from an extraordinary trip to the Soviet Union. Heavy rains, 90-mile winds, and a possible tornado struck the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area last night. Power remains out to about 15,000 homes. Boats were capsized on Lake Worth, at least 8 people injured. The dollar is lower overseas. Gold is nearly $4.50 higher. And on Wall Street to this hour, the Dow Industrial Average is off a fraction at 2439.87. Time now, 10 past 7.